Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Thanks to PIA for supporting FilmSack. PIA stands for Private Internet Access, and they take privacy seriously. Not only does PIA hide your IP address, it encrypts your entire connection. Right now, go to PIAVPN.com/FilmSack and get a whopping 82% off your VPN service, plus 4 free months with a 2-year plan.
Sheriff Blake Davis, I know a lot about you. Yes, sir, from the papers. Sure do. About you not having any unsolved cases here or in Montana.
Nothing but a myth. But a damn fine one. Now, why the radio silence on bringing me here, Sheriff?
Well, we got a special kind of situation here, Frank. A missing boy on our hands.
Fat piece of shit.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, and welcome to FilmSack. This is a FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 578. I screwed it up.
Inventing new numbers.
I screwed it up a couple of weeks ago, and I'm realizing my error here. Anyway, 578 is the number. You know what? I am in the wrong thing. That's why I'm in the wrong tab. My name is Scott Johnson, and I may have some brain fog. Joining me today, Brian. He likes to creep up on two girls. Sorry, that's not right. He likes to creep up to girls' windows with bags of donut holes and... shit, I read that all wrong. Dunaway.
I knew what you meant. Hi, ladies. Would you like to see my holes? Hi. This week on FilmSack, we watched something about... Oh, look, I don't remember. The last thing I do remember is waking up cold, naked, and screaming next to one of those gas station bagged ice freezer bins. Like a Sunday morning at Brian Ibbett's house. Then I ran over here with my dingle flopping to join the call from a payphone that looks like something from the early 90s. Yeah, gas is like under $1 a gallon here, so probably... Don't me! Oh, that was weird. I just had one of those flashbacks of Scott in one of those gray alien suits trying to shove some nasty-looking Utah jelly down my throat. Do we have an X-Files watch party at Scott's house complete with cosplay or something? Based on a true story? I want to believe. Anywho, I need one of you guys to come pick me up and drive us like a truck full of idiots to the local small town bar, hotel, restaurant, taxidermy museum, pool hall, honky-tonk, with smoke rolling out of the truck, and call my wife and tell her I was abducted by aliens and then stick into that story no matter what. Right, Randy? Well, wait. Did somebody call me an Uber? Because I think Norman Reedus looking T-1000 and that guy from E.T. just pulled up, and my wife is with them. Look, I got to go. I got to go curl back up next to that ice bin and act all freaked out. Don't touch me! And remember, stick to the story. Aliens. Randy, drive like a half an avocado when the sky is chasing you. And protect your bum. Always protect the bum, Randy!
Cover the bum. I want to know what Utah jelly is. That sounds like fun.
Wherever the hell it got shoved down that one dude's vocal cord so they could shove in the probe of doom.
Usually has mandarin orange slices in it, doesn't it?
Lime jelly with
It's like that shit you get at Thanksgiving. What's it called? The ambrosia?
Ambrosia. Yeah. Sure. It's basically throat lube. So there you go.
Throat lube. Yeah,
you gotta get it done. However you get in there, you get in there.
You guys want some throat lube?
Yes.
I got a whole
bucket right over here.
Nice. Keep a hold of that. We may need it later. Also with us, Randy, what color is his shirt? Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Randy.
I'd like to thank y'all for coming to the town hall at the same time as everyone else for this here meeting. I don't know how y'all knew to come. This town won't have Facebook groups for another 35 years. Anyway, I'm the sheriff of maybe I'm the town police chief or something like that. I don't know. I know I always had this accent and this uniform, so I'm the law around here until the state sends Jim Rockford down every now and then. We had some sort of crime, and we're going to get to the bottom of it by following these three easy steps. Number one, we're going to interrogate our suspects right in the middle of the coffee shop with half the town hanging around. That's how you build a good, clear case. Number two, we're going to take the suspects with us when we make our initial search of the crime scene. We're going to let them do all the tampering they want to. Yes. We're just going tampering, boys. Number three, when we quickly find a hastily dug shallow grave a few yards away from the crime scene, we're not going to stop and even do one iota of forensics. Now, we're going to get to shoveling and pointing fingers and just ruining all that potential evidence. Woo, that was lucky. It was only some hunter what buried his dog. Yeehaw.
And that dog was like, wait, we finally solved the mystery. What happened to Rusty?
Did you say it was a dog, by the way, or was it like it was a deer?
He did. He said it was a dog, and that dog looked totally disappointed because he worked really hard to uncover the murder of his good friend, Rusty, and the cop totally ignored it. It was sad.
I guess so. I missed that very important, satient point of the thing. Also with us, Brian.
Having a COVID nap.
We found him curled up naked next to an ice machine ibbot.
Sure did. We talked about the even with Brian Dunaway. Hey, Melvin. Yeah, no, I wasn't supposed to be on duty today, but I dozed off in the cargo bay, and when I woke up, one of the specimens from Soul 3 got out of his bag and kicked me in the head. So I thought I'd come join you guys. You doing the probing? All right. Well, let's use Operating Room 4. It's a total mess. You know, nobody's cleaned it since we left. And that's what he gets for kicking me in the head. All right, let's start the probe. Hey, Gilbert, can you get his clothes off? Seriously, a t-shirt, an undershirt, a flannel, and a jean jacket? Ooh. Is this guy a member of every Seattle grunge band? Oh, boy. Okay, kids, this is why you always put on clean underwear, right? I mean, okay, yeah, that could have happened when our tractor beam knocked him back 4 feet. Ugh. Seriously, we've got to get that thing fixed. Ugh. All right, keep him down. Oh, hey, we can use my new VacuForm sheet restraint. I learned how to make this, by the way, by watching Punish Props' YouTube channel. Anyway,
nice.
Let's get this probe started. Hey, can you hand me my protein shake? Oh, damn it, Melvin, you dripped some in his eye. Gross. Oh, man, I can't believe we're doing this to an actor of his caliber. What do you mean? Well, this is soon-to-be star of Clueless and future MCU A-lister Paul Rudd.
Yeah, what? Exactly.
This isn't Paul Rudd? Oh, well, crap. Ditch him at the nearest gas station and let's get out of here.
Yeah. Between Norman Reedus and Paul Rudd, I kept getting confused. But not Norman Reedus, by the way, but yeah, really, for a first
place. It just basically was all the members of Pearl Jam, I think. In Arizona, right? That's Arizona.
Yeah. Snowflake, Arizona, yeah.
Snowflake, Arizona. It does not look like the Pacific Northwest. It is totally Arizona.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. They say they filmed it all in Oregon, which is a...
Yeah.
Eastern Oregon.
Yeah, and it looked like Oregon.
Yeah, it did not look like Arizona.
No, not even once. I've been to Snowflake. Snowflake's
Flagstaff,
not...
I could kind of see a little sorta. Bit maybe towards... If you got near Flagstaff, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the way, the actor Brian was referring to is D.B. Sweeney, who's... It's interesting because I think D.B. Sweeney and... I can't think of his damn name. What's his name? He just said
Paul Rudd.
D.B. Sweeney and Paul Rudd, I think, are close to the same age, but
yeah,
D.B. Sweeney hasn't aged as well.
Yeah, not nearly as well. But no. I think that's why we think Paul Rudd has been around as long as he has, because part of that time he was D.B. Sweeney.
Oh, I see. Nah. Okay, I got it. And then he left that husk to move on to his next host.
Exactly. And then he reached his first evolution with a pineapple berry and turned into Paul Rudd.
This D.B. Sweeney is 8 years older.
Is he?
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. That make a big difference.
Okay.
Yeah, that between 50 and 60, that can be a big deal.
Yeah, that's a lot. Actually, he's 54 now, Paul Rudd is, so that would put...
Yeah,
he's on his way to 70, which is weird. So you mentioned him, Robert Patrick, of course, and Craig Sheffer and a bunch of these other guys. We'll get to all of them in a second. Craig Sheffer, of course, no stranger to Film Sack and is always a dick. Always a dick.
Yeah. I always think of him from
we just watched him on DreamWorks.
Some Kind of Wonderful.
Yeah,
the douche. Grady, I think is his name, like the real snotty rich guy who looks down on everybody.
Oh, I'm wrong. You're talking about,
This is only our third film that we've seen that has Craig Sheffer.
Oh, come on.
I would say Robert Patrick is more of a Film Sack constant, but this is our fifth Robert Patrick film.
Oh my gosh. Hold on a second. I've got that so backwards in my head. I would have said Craig Sheffer would have won the prize if you'd have, given me the choice.
He was in Nightbreed and Badass and now Fire in the Sky.
Did we not? We watched Nightbreed.
I don't remember any of those movies, so okay.
I remember.
I wanted to watch Nightbreed, but I guess we did watch it, didn't we?
We watched Nightbreed. We did. He was like,
I believe that we watched both of those movies, but if you were to say, hey, Brian, what was Nightbreed about? I would have said, I don't know, like an alien that's in a woman's body that kills people.
What was Badass? I don't remember Badass. Oh,
Danny Trejo.
Trejo on the bus.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Now we remember it. Well, this whole thing is a little bit weird for me because the film we're talking about is Fire in the Sky, and it came out in 1993. And at the time, I was told three things: that it happened here in Utah, the original incident this is based on, supposedly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That it was then also filmed here. And that two of the actors in the main group were from here.
Boy, everything they told you is not based.
All of them are lies. They're all not true.
That's what's the Luke Skywalker thing from The Force Awakens? Like everything you just said is wrong.
Yeah,
right.
Honestly, it wasn't until this viewing that I went, yeah, you a-holes. Like now I have all this information. I can actually look this up. I can see filming locations. Oregon, mm-hmm. Eastern Oregon is not Utah. You bastards. Who told me this? Like I kind of want to go back in time and. Kicking the nuts, whoever told me all these stupid lies. Because there was a thing.
Did it increase your desire to see it when you heard those things? Like, oh, they filmed it here, and a couple of the guys on the thing or the original thing happened here.
I did. And I admit I have like a weird thing when this happens. When I found out The Sandlot was filmed in Midvale, which is like 20 minutes from here, I get excited about that because I'm like, oh my gosh, I know that place. I drive by there all the time. This is great and all that. Like I do that. So they're taking advantage of my excitement for local stuff. Yeah. And it's just none of it was ever true. And I'm just annoyed by it. And even up to this viewing, I was like, I got to go look again. Wasn't this filmed here? Wasn't this made? No, none of it. The closest we get is somebody mentions that in Snowflake, there's a prominent Mormon community, which, is obviously true here. That's as close as we get.
Passing anecdote.
Yeah, I think Peter Berg mentions it or something.
I'm really impressed that you've ever heard of the movie Fire in the Sky. That's amazing.
Oh, no, it was a big deal for us. Yeah,
back in the day at the theater and
really this was in theaters.
And the abduction scene freaked me out in the theaters. And then watching it this time, like this freaked me out.
Yeah.
It freaked me out still. What are you talking about?
And you're talking 93. Ibbot and I would have been 22, 23. It's not like we were little kids or anything.
And we haven't started watching X-Files yet. That doesn't start until the fall of 93. So this was the height of us thinking about getting back into alien crap.
Yeah. Speaking of Robert Patrick, he would step in for Duchovny for a while there. Yep. It was a big deal. I remember at the time and like it, but I remember being completely freaked out about the spaceship scene and getting dragged through there. And I still think some of that stuff's very effective, but it doesn't freak me out the way it did in 93. I mean, we must've just been, was this like pre Jurassic Park barely? Like by a month or something.
I mean, we hadn't seen enough stuff like this to be able to box normalize. It up as like
normalized insanity.
Call it
insanity. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
I'll tell you what confused me about the time for this movie to have come out is that Robert Patrick looks so much younger than he does in Terminator 2.
He does.
And I don't get that.
He gained weight for this because that's one of the things that makes them look a little bit younger too. Like when I was that age that he is in this film, mm-hmm. when I put on more weight, I looked younger. And when I lost weight, I looked older.
Yeah, it gave you a baby face.
Looking it up, Yeah. Do not look this up. I want you to tell me how old Robert Patrick was when he filmed Fire in the Sky.
Well, I know he's in his 60, he's 68 or something now.
28. So. I don't know.
I'm going to say 27 or 28.
Terribly guessing.
He was 34.
34. Jeez.
Okay. All right.
I mean, this explains a lot, because I don't.
That explains how he now looks like he's 95 in Peacemaker.
But he was 50 when he filmed Terminator 2, right? Because of the time travel.
Okay. All right, I get you.
I see what you did. You know what? He surprised me. This is my big number one takeaway from the watching is how good I thought Robert Patrick was in this.
Yeah,
so good, man. Yeah. I mean, I knew he could act, but holy.
I just remember the time seeing it in theaters. I went, "Oh, I can't get T-1000 out of my mind," because that had just happened the prior year or whatever it had been, and so I was like, "This is just that's impossible for me to see through this." You're just who that guy is, and I know your brother is the. Do you want to take my picture? Guy, singer, what's the name of the band? His brother is it? No, the take my
vertical
picture.
Filter.
Thank you, okay. Filter. His brother is the Filter lead singer, and that's all I knew of the guy. So I kind of just
know that, huh?
I discounted him, and then later or now, I think
you
he's
never
damn,
discount I, the Patrick.
I think he's very good in this.
He is, he's really good.
I think he acts circles around everybody who's in it, and the only other person I would say that did a pretty good acting job, D.B. Sweeney just kind of stared in the lights a lot. But I think Craig Sheffer,
he does that well. That's a D.B. Sweeney move, right?
Yeah,
did it well.
Yeah, but
I don't know. I feel like Peter Berg is really good too. I feel like he's
yeah, Berg's good.
Yeah,
D.B. Sweeney has the star making scene in this film, and he pulls it off. It didn't make him a star, but his introduction scene where he gets his motorcycle running and then rides through town and grabs donuts while riding down the sidewalk and then goes to his sweetheart's house, happens to also be his friend's house, and gets up on the roof and wakes her up and everything, like that was amazing. I was really impressed with that whole sequence. It just felt good. Mm-hmm. And I wish the whole movie had taken that kind of care with the actors and the dialogue that they're given, because you know, like the all of the interrogation between you know, Noble Willingham, James Garner, and our main characters is set to be really interesting and really good, and it's kind of forgettable.
So what happened here, in my opinion, is what we see happen a lot in movies is the producers and the marketing of a movie doesn't match up with what is actually entertaining, because sometimes we think that it's like, oh, I'd love to go see you know, this alien movie, and it's just going to be a thrill ride the whole time. That gets boring pretty quick. Mm-hmm. And so you have to have, like, you know, you have to have more, like, you know, it's like Star Wars. It's like if you had nothing but fighting and laser swords, it would get boring. So you have to have, you know, a little bit of story. I think they handled the story pretty good here, and I was satisfied with the alien stuff, but reading online, people are pissed. It's like, oh, they didn't wrap up the alien stuff. I'm like, but the story wasn't about the aliens. The story was about, you know, credibility in the town and how that impacts the life. The characters all had story arcs.
Mm-hmm. You could have kept the aliens completely off screen. Like you could have had the entire thing never occur to him, right? Like his flashbacks are nothing.
But then as the audience, you don't necessarily know if you can believe him. I think you to have, I think it turns into a different movie if you don't yourself see, okay, he did go through this. Otherwise, you don't get the answer. You don't get the closure of being able to say, was he making it up or was he just, hiding
the sad part about it all is in real life, all these people, all kind of ended up in rotten places except for the D.B. Sweeney guy who went on to be Mike Lindell, apparently.
Travis Walton. Looks like the pillow guy.
Yeah.
Pillows are definitely not filled with Utah goo.
But he's like, he's parlayed this into a bunch of money, not only from his book and the film rights and everything else, but he was successful in business. He has four kids. He's been married to this girl for that whole time. Like, he's had a pretty good go of it, whereas the Robert Patrick characters, you know, didn't go well for him, didn't go well for most of them. And that's interesting because on the one hand, like that's, I think what rings through for the movie is that here you've got these friends and they all staked kind of everything that they were in this town on backing their friend's story, and they only had a piece of it, which was this lift him up and chuck him in the weeds bit that they saw before they drove off.
Right.
And they don't know anything else, so they could only take him at his word and then back him at his word. And that meant the crumbling of everything else around them, because deep down, you know, they're still not totally sure. They don't really know.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Right. But right. All they saw was that, that he got knocked back a few feet, and then there are some friends. Oh, no, he's dead. All right, let's go.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
That flashlight killed him. Go, totally go.
That 4-foot flyback that he did absolutely killed him. Let's leave him.
Yeah. He's dead. Bump it.
Yeah.
I see. I agree. I'm with Dallas. You know, it's like, let's get out of here. We're out. See you, suckers.
Have we talked about, talk about Henry Thomas yet, but Henry Thomas in the back seat, not a huge role for him. And I feel like this is the first time I'd seen him since E.T., which, put this in your chicken and roast it. This is barely 11 years later.
When he was like another alien movie. Cow, no man, kidding. I am typecasted.
Yeah.
No, but like how much he aged in those 11 years.
Yeah. Jeez. I mean, he must have been, he probably was 11 and is now what, like 22 at the time or something.
I really wish he hadn't been in this, because my mind wanted to put it in the same universe. I kept wanting to put it in the same universe. And I'm like, stop it, Brian. Stop it. Don't. Hey,
while you were in there, did you happen to see my speak and spell?
They should have had a white
75.
They should have had an animal that was like half decayed out in the forest that's just white laying there looking like E.T. or whatever.
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, just some reference or having
if the dogs had dug that up, that would have been great.
Yeah, or eating Reese's Pieces on their way back in the truck or something like
Reese's
that.
Pieces? Yeah.
As you say, notice I pronounced it the way you do, Dunaway. I said Reese's
Pieces.
Yeah. I'm getting into the South frame of mind.
You'll do it. You'll do it. Celebrate.
But
that's what you play Candy Crush on, the type of device is a Reese's PC.
That's right.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to do something a little bit weird. I don't usually do this this early in the show, but I got to get it out of the way, and it's this.
Grab a bucket.
We have a chick in the bucket that is a little transcendent and different than usual. Normally, it's like a character showed up, and then where did they go? Okay, that's normally the chick in the bucket. That's the definition. But today, I would like to present a new kind of chick in the bucket. Somebody who's there through most of it, but you don't remember shit about them, and they don't matter to anything, and they're absolutely almost negative impact on the film.
Yeah.
And that's Bradley Craig.
Yeah, Bradley's back from our Dream Warriors.
Yeah.
We got another Bradley Craig here.
Bradley Craig, who plays Bobby Cogdill. He's the other friend.
20-gallon hat.
So you got the main friends, D.B. Sweeney, Robert Patrick, Craig Sheffer, Henry Thomas, Peter Berg, and the other guy. And that guy did nothing.
Okay, hold on. So I'm trying to the way I visualize these guys is in the seat, the seats of the car, right? Three in the front, three in the back.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. So you got Robert Patrick driving. You've got
he's a backseater, by the way.
DB Sweeney, over on the window seat, seat window.
Right.
You've got the drifter bully dude on the far back. Like he's Dallas. Also on the window seat.
Yep. Yeah.
You always got to have Dallas.
Back seat.
Yep.
Dallas.
Yep. That's.
So
Peter Berg is
Elliot is in the back seat.
Peter Berg's in the front.
And then right next to him is Bradley Gregg on the far side.
Peter Berg's in the front middle. He's sitting in the middle.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. And this guy, so now picture him being interviewed. Picture him with the lie detector. He does some lie detection discussion.
Yeah.
And it's zero impact on the film. He does some discussion at the table, and I think he has the one line where he says, he interrupts the sheriff while he's in the middle of talking. And then again, it's like
maybe he should start a new trope. He will be the Brad. How about that?
He's the Brad. Oh my gosh. The Brad. I mean, I just feel so unique. I don't know if we'll ever see it again, because it was like active non-existence. It's hard to explain.
Wow. Yeah, I totally had forgot. Like I could tell you the other five characters and what they did and what they added to the plot. I cannot even. I'm even all trying to visualize this
guy. All I can remember about him is that big giant hat. Every time I saw that hat, I was like, "That is a big hat."
He did wear a hat a lot, so you could kind of pick him out that way. And he was in every scene that mattered for the group. He had dialogue in every one of those scenes, but is the most forgettable human being I've ever watched in a film. And I'm not blaming him. Something's just weird here.
The character was off. But that's based on a true story. The telling is based on a true story. The actual abduction, that's questionable.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not only questionable. He's trying to get a remake done where the abduction part is more the way he remembers
what
it.
He remembers,
yeah, yeah, that. Because yeah, they blew up the alien scenes. The producers were like, "That is boring as poop. Make something exciting happen." So they had Grays in there. They had all that wild looking shrink wrap stuff that went on. I thought it was pretty good. I was excited.
It was good, but you know, when you were setting up the chick in the bucket, Scott, I thought you were going to say we're doing something we haven't done before with that, which is a major plot hole. How did D.B. Sweeney get off the spaceship? Like, what, you know?
Right. They just didn't.
Yeah. We're done with him. We're going to just bring like him back.
Yeah, they're not coming back. That was the rub at the very end. It was like, oh, they're not coming back. He was very convinced they weren't coming
back.
Yeah, but
why? What? Why? How come there was another dude?
I haven't read the book.
There was another guy in a pod that his guts were all ripped out.
He decomposed. That was way cool. He was just.
Oh, it looked like he'd been worked on.
Probably a combination of the two, right? I think that he was probably a previous probe. Result
probe.
and they put him back
probe.
In the they put him back in the thing, which is like, all right, well, why didn't, you know, number one, if you don't like D.B. Sweeney, just jettison him out into space. Like, they're not, it blows, but it surprises me that an alien race would say, all right, well, let's burn the fuel to take him back to the planet.
Well, here's
gently put him down, you know, somewhere
I think.
Naked, and then take off again. Yeah.
I think they're a bunch of sleeper agents for the aliens. I think him and My Pillow guy. That's the reason why they all look alike. They all have to wear that same mustache. So Travis Walton and My Pillow guy. They're sleeper agents for the
aliens.
That's
what's going on.
That's what happened.
Now I think he annoyed them because they were all trying to sleep in their dumb suits. And he's floating around trying to grab keys and making a bunch of noise.
I didn't understand why that one was in his spacesuit. I did like the idea, though, that they addressed the Grays, because you see the gray aliens all the time, big giant eyes. I like that they said, oh, well, those are just suits. They're really fleshy toned like us with little beady eyes. I like the alien design, the creature design. What was it?
I did too, but they looked almost a little too, I don't know how to explain it. I got Muppety things in my head when I watched them.
Yeah, because this is Lucas, right? This is Lucas.
Yeah, it was Lucas ILM. Or ILM, and they could have done. I'm glad it wasn't
CG.
They
just needed to make the aliens look a little less like humans, with, you know, with alien expressions and alien things. It's like we've seen those kind of aliens so much that it feels like. In a universe as big as the universe, as Carl Sagan told us our universe is, the aliens wouldn't just look like skinny versions of us with big heads or tall versions
naked.
Of us. And always naked.
Are we the only creatures in existence that wears clothes?
I'm going to guess if we ran into state this Mike Lindell looking guy. None of this shit happened. There was no way.
Oh, for sure.
I'm kind of with you. skeptic.
I can prove that it didn't happen. Come back to that.
Okay, I'll come back around to your proof. I like this. Podcast proof, everybody. PP, we're getting ready. Okay.
PP.
Here's what I was going to say, though. Like, first of all, yes, that's all bullshit. I don't know how, you know, whatever. I'm not. I don't want to discount what he thinks he may have seen, because I think that's possible. It's possible somebody in some duress, trouble, whatever, injury. Lots of reasons why you might.
Lots of drugs in 1975. I'm just saying.
Well,
lots of drugs.
I mean, even then, like, you know, I can tell you after a week of COVID fevers, waking out of some of those fever dreams felt like horrible, true to life nightmares that would then fade away. So I get this thing that our brain is pretty crazy that way, and it can come up with all kinds of shit. So no shade on that guy. I'm not saying he's being a shyster. Sure. I'm just saying
Everything that we saw, though, in the movie for the alien recounting of how the ship was is not how his story
goes. I know. Yeah, so, and the director even said, like, he said the sequence came to him in a series of dreams over the course of 8 months developing the film. Like, it had even they didn't even like talk to the author about how they were going to do this. So all of that aside, though, brain fog kick
COVID brain.
What was I gonna say? The whole point was
how the abduction was filmed versus what Travis really thinks he experienced. You don't want to discount this guy.
I know what it is. This movie, I guess what I was gonna get around to is this movie for me is like watching JFK for me. I like JFK the movie a lot.
Conspiracies.
I think it's incredibly well made. I think JFK has an amazing cast, some incredible acting. It's riveting. It's great. I love it. Love JFK. Could watch it today.
Makes for good storytelling.
But it's all horseshit. And so I wonder, how do we feel? How do we feel about things that say, based on real events, that we know in our guts are, you know, come on, man, like you're stretching all these things a little too thin. Should we as viewers be like, I don't know.
Oh, sure. You believe in the whole magic bullet, don't you, Scott? That this bullet changed direction in midair. And
I mean, I'm not even sure this was my original point, but I do like this point.
Yeah, I'm going with it.
You know what I mean? Like, I think I was maybe going somewhere else, but I've come to this. So now I'm going to talk about this.
But this is kind of the question that I was leading or walking all around and trampling on in my bonus episode of FilmSack a couple months ago. And that is, what do you do with something that entertains you, but you know it, you can't share, you know, fully with other people? You know what
this
I mean?
Movie.
Like, Right. So like you know what I'm saying? Like, and I mean this movie, sorry, Fire the Sky is not a good movie, but like, I'm talking about like, if you really loved Gone with the Wind when you were younger and you know, people there's Gone with the Wind societies and so on. And then one day you realize, I can't share in that anymore, but you still like it. You're a Harry Potter fan. You still like it, but you can no longer share that with other people. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah. I tried to share this with my significant other last night, and she was like, I thought she would like it because it has hints of the, of mystery. And, you know, it's like, oh, you got the cops in there. You got to solve a mystery. And she loves like those crime shows. I was like, oh, it's kind of like a crime, a little bit of a crime, you know, trying to figure out what happened to so-and-so. Yeah. Nope. She said, this is the worst movie ever. And I'm like,
this movie would have been better if it had steered it hard into the procedural aspects.
Right.
I mean, really I think I would have enjoyed that too. I like that stuff a lot.
Yeah.
I'll admit it. I'll watch James Garner freaking flip through a phone book. I like that guy. And you know,
I was impressed at how amazed he was by a railroad crossing sign.
Oh yeah, he was. Yeah. What a dumb misdirect. That was such a horrible misdirect. I hated that. It's like
I actually liked they had several misdirects right off the top. They had everything in the alien movie. Apparently, you got to have. You only can shoot things from below hills. So you gotta be like at the bottom of a hill and you gotta have light coming over that hill. That's how you indicate something's coming up.
Yep.
And then you got your railroad tracks like we saw. I liked it a little bit. I know it was pandering to me. Fine, whatever.
What do you mean? Like, because it was kind of like hillbilly? What's the
No. Yeah, because hillbilly. That's me. That's me.
Oh,
that's
I see what you mean.
Randy. Saying that I'm a big fan of Spielberg's Close Encounters.
Yeah.
I can't watch it with most people.
Why? It's a great movie.
I get you. If you're watching this movie and you're comparing it to Close Encounters of the Third Kind in 1993, I think you have a chance. My problem, my big problem, and it was going to just be the case, is everything I know about this movie started yesterday. And And before yesterday, I watched 7 years of X-Files and 700 years of Supernatural. You see what I'm saying?
Like
that's just ruinous for my experience.
Right.
Well, you know what? I can't argue with the fact that if I saw this fresh without any kind of previous experience, I would be more on board with where you're at with it.
I enjoyed it the first time
and I watched it this time and I enjoyed it enough. I think there's some things that don't hold up well. I think there's some things that hold up incredibly well and in ways that I didn't appreciate the first time, like Robert Patrick's performance.
Yeah.
Is the main one actually, but also just, I think this is a hard movie to make and.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's pretty well done. I guess
it's a hard movie to make well.
Yeah.
What, $1.8 million in 1993 money? It's absolutely a hard movie to make.
Yeah, that seems low. Fine. Really low to me that's all they paid.
Yeah, I thought it had a stated budget of like $16 million.
Maybe it did. Maybe it did.
Or maybe it's
adjusted for inflation. I don't know.
Inflation. Yeah, I don't know. But I guess my point is, is lost. My point is lost. It left. I had a point, and then it went away. So now we move on to the next point. Boy, this thing's real, man. This whole
you need like a little dry erase board on your desk.
I do, like, write down.
Yeah.
Let me see. I don't think you had COVID. I think you were abducted by aliens, and they just injected that memory into your brain.
Oh, I know. I did want to share this trivia. This is pretty great. I wrote stupid, but I actually kind of like it. According to accounts, the Travis Walton abduction, when this dude was supposedly actually abducted, occurred on November 5th, 1975.
Right.
This was not shown in November. But anyway, that would have been actor Robert Patrick's birth date of November 5th, 1958. That means that the abduction took place on Patrick's 17th birthday.
Yeah. Patrick was having all kinds of weird moments with this movie. He also, the character he portrayed, was actually related to him by marriage as well. He found out that later as he started doing research.
Really? His brother's in Filter. He's related to the guy who got abducted. That's weird.
Yeah. Not the guy abducted, but
his character played. Got it.
Yeah.
That's weird though, right?
Yeah, I know.
That's very weird. I like watching him now.
Maybe he's a sleeper agent.
He looks like an old piece of petrified wood now, and I'm all here for it. I really like his like crusty old thing. I want him to be a mob boss and more things. I want him to be
old sci-fi stuff or westerns. Yeah. Like he's got the perfect look for all
Just love it. Love his whole tone. I really like that Perry Mason remake on HBO a couple years ago. He played a pretty bad guy in that and loved him in that.
Right.
Just great. Robert Patrick Appreciation Day, everybody. I think he's...
Do it.
I just used to think of him as a little bit one note. And, you know, like, oh, T-1000 again, because that was such a iconic, remarkable moment for him that it was impossible to separate it. But I've done some maturing.
We've all grown.
We've grown. We've let a little Robert Patrick into our other parts of our life, and it's fine.
I hope I get grisly like him when I get old, but nope, I'm going to look like a Noble Willingham. He's Blake Davis, the sheriff in this one.
Oh, I love that. I love that guy.
Does that guy always play a sheriff, by the way?
Always.
I think it's a rule.
I got my own uniform. Come on in.
By far my favorite thing in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, there's no question. By far my favorite thing in the movie is Noble Willingham. And I started out, when he first spoke, I'm like, my gosh, I've seen that guy in a
Sheriff
lot of stuff.
Sheriff Blake Davis.
Yeah, as soon as you hear that voice.
Sheriff Blake Davis.
That is just, that's iconic as hell.
I started looking, and I actually haven't seen him in a lot, but it's just what I have seen him in, I've seen many, many times.
Yeah, he's a standout. Right. He's right up there with the guy that played Maurice on Northern Exposure, who's probably near dead now.
He's everything.
I love him. War Games. Oh, yeah. He's the one that says,
I'd pee on a spark plug if I thought it would make a difference.
There you go. Those guys, he was in Better Call Saul for a couple episodes. He's just awesome.
You look at Noble Williams' IMDb list and his characters, Deputy Cheryl Cash, Sheriff Harris, Buford Sells, Sheriff Carter. Jansen.
Yep. Sheriff Pat McAllister.
In one movie, he's just credited as Sergeant.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Sergeant.
Fire in the Sky just says Blake Davis, but he's like a local, you know, something.
Right, local sheriff,
Here's another one.
Oh, Matt, like you played a reverend. That's an interesting one.
Oh, that sounds good. Reverend.
I want to give you a really interesting connection for this guy. Okay. He took the role of Harry in Aftermath.
He
was never in MASH.
I don't remember that at all.
Who's Harry?
Harry?
I remember Aftermath, but I don't remember that at all. Huh.
Was that a character, a previously played character?
Yeah.
I think so.
Harry who?
I don't know.
I just watched MASH. I don't think there was a Harry. Well, it was Harry Morgan.
I'm thinking of the name Harry Morgan, who's that's an actor, not a character.
Yeah, Harry Morgan. Yeah, that was Harry Potter.
Not Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Colonel Harry Potter.
Colonel Harry.
Oh my gosh, that about killed me right then.
Snape hockey.
Star Trek. I know we haven't done. He'll come up in connections for Star Trek, but he played a character on Star Trek called Texas, which is great. So anyway,
we'll talk about it later. That's a very memorable performance by him, and it's why he's overstated in my memory because I've seen that episode. It's an episode of TNG called The Royale. I've seen it many, many times.
Yeah, it's the casino with a bunch of reconstituted, or it's based on a. If I remember right, the computer takes a book, basically the aliens or the computer or whatever.
Yeah.
Takes a book, some famous Western book that some astronaut had with him, and then recreates this entire bunch of characters and scenarios from this like casino book. It's pretty great.
I hate those.
Hey, you know, not only, by the way, not only was he in Aftermath, he was in the other post-MASH show that came out in 1984 called Walter.
Walter? No, Walter, oh, the Walter O'Reilly thing.
As a different character, Sergeant Sowell. But like, man, two same year, two different post-MASH products or projects.
Yeah.
And he's,
and I'm trying to make MASH a thing. Come on.
And I should have told Scott before the show, dig up your clips from Good Morning Vietnam, because he's got some killer lines in that movie.
That might be the number one place I heard him. Now that you say it, now that I think about it, because I watched that movie a lot.
Wow. Did you guys know there was a Splash sequel called Splash 2?
I did.
I think I did know that.
Made for TV thing.
With, never saw it, but I knew it existed.
Yes.
Yeah, he's in that apparently.
Yeah, he was the mermaid. It was weird.
Yeah. Amy Yazbeck, John Ritter's widow, was in mermaid in that. He was also in Young Maverick, playing a show that focused on a cousin of Brett Maverick, James Garner.
Oh, hey, look at that. It's all coming back together.
I hate it when a Splash number 2 comes up, hits
Splash
your butt.
Splash 2.
It's the worst, right?
Hate it.
Number Splash 2. Splash.
Really, like, where has this come up for you? I did not even realize there was a Splash 2.
Have you never had it? What, the movie? Oh, yeah.
He's talking about pooping.
He was talking about pooping.
He's talking about when you poop and the water splashes right back into your butt.
Yeah, Splash number 2.
Yeah, get it?
Oh, Splash number 2. I got it.
Yeah. Yeah, the movie I knew existed. I never
heard of long COVID. Long COVID is real.
Yeah, Brian, long COVID fog, they call it. It's the London COVID fog you got is what you got. Anyway, yes, Noble Willingham, appreciation moment for him. The guy's great. Everyone's
I also felt like those characters that were played by Noble Willingham and James Garner were pretty well constructed. Like I spent most of the beginning of the movie expecting them to be unreliable, expecting them to be, to have some to overreach, and they didn't.
Yeah.
They were cool.
Yeah,
All these characters were meant to. It's like that was one interesting thing they did about this movie is they made all the characters trustworthy, which was that was a really smart move because we're talking about something that could be easily just dismissed.
And it gave us the right stuff to focus on, and I appreciated that because if they would have messed with that. Even made them too much of a believer. Right. That would have annoyed me. What I needed them to be is to be what they would be, which is good, honorable lawmen trying to do the right thing in their community, trying to get to the truth, having a real hard time with this story. Like, that's all good.
But the real sheriff who they're portraying after is said, that guy's full of shit. Behind the scenes.
Yeah.
He was the smartest one of the group, I think is what they had said. And they just laced their beer with something like with some hallucinogens.
Would pass the thing?
His theory was that Travis Walton laced the other guy's beers because he was the smart one and just convinced them that all that BS happened. So
oh my Lord.
Real life. Stranger than the fiction here.
It always is. I mean, it's never as simple as these movies, which is kind of, I guess, our point earlier. But the director, Robert. Okay, so I got scrutiny. Sorry, everybody. Scrutiny time.
Of course.
Scrutiny. Director Robert Lieberman. Robert Lieberman. No relation to former or maybe current senator. No, Lieberman's retired, right? I don't know.
Joseph Lieberman?
Yeah, he's out. I think.
Yes, he hasn't been.
I had COVID.
Go on.
I don't think COVID got him. I don't know what got him. Anyway, director Robert Lieberman said the alien abduction sequence came to him in a series. Oh, and I already did that one. Sorry. Here it is.
Yeah.
Director Robert Lieberman said author Anne Rice told him the movie was the scariest film she had ever seen. Do we think that that's true? Come on now.
At the time, yes. In 93, really? I think a lot of us were. That was terrifying. We were walking into something that we hadn't really explored in a while.
I'd seen scarier shit before this, though.
Well, me too, but gray aliens were on our minds. I think walking into this early on, I think it was pretty scary.
If Anne Rice had only seen this, I'll give it to you. But I feel like Anne Rice probably saw Alien. She's probably seen, I don't know, Exorcist.
The Thing was scarier.
The Thing.
Yeah. I mean, what does she know? She created her vampire movies are just sexy vampires. So
that's true. Everything scares her.
By this point, everyone's seen The Shining. There's some moments of genuine terror in that movie.
Oh, for sure.
No, The Shining still gets me. I can't do it. I mean, I watched it with you guys, but when I watched it on my own, it's really hard for me. In fact, this is going to sound weird, but I finally watched Dr. Sleep and really liked it.
Oh, I love Dr. Sleep. So good.
Mike Flanagan is a, I love him. He should make everything.
If you haven't seen Dr. Sleep, is the sequel to The Shining. And I've read The Shining book and Dr. Sleep book, and they did a really good marriage of the two types of stories, being the one that was the movie and the book.
It was just a constant reminder that Brian Ibbett should have been Ewan McGregor. You should be.
I could have been the Ewan McGregor role.
Because if things had gone right, you would have been. That means you would have been Obi-Wan Kenobi. You would have been.
That's not how it worked.
I don't think that's how none of that works, considering that he's not the original kid who played the original kid.
Exactly. I know. I might be retconning here a little bit. But
I would have been on Fargo. I would have been,
With Dr. Sleep, I also want you to give a lot of credit to Akiva Goldsman.
Yeah.
Because that guy doesn't get enough credit. He is responsible for so many adaptations of perfectly good stories, making them into really good.
I thought that was Flanagan, he did screenplay. You're right. So, and that person works with Flanagan a lot on his stuff.
Akiva Goldsman. Yeah. And probably the heaviest hand on the scripts of the new Strange New Worlds, the Star Trek series.
Right.
Okay. And I'm telling you, it is so good.
It is so good.
Is it Matt Flanagan or Mike Flanagan? Mike Flanagan. I always get his name.
Mike Flanagan.
Anyway, my point was, I'm watching Dr. Sleep and it actually made me less afraid of the old one somehow.
Yeah. The Shining.
I can't explain it, but it actually helps soothe that.
Well, it does, because he's not as vulnerable. In the original Shining, the character is very vulnerable, but here he's kind of like, he's almost a superhero, which is kind of where it goes in some of the
books. And it also made the people who have the real, like the horrible people that have The Shining, you want to get sued? It made them seem, how do I put this? They were more relatable, because that whole camp of them where you had dude from Fargo season 2, that girl who's great and everything. I can't think of anyone's names.
Rebecca Ferguson?
Yes. Oh, I love her. Gosh, dang it. Really good, Dune Mom. I call her Dune Mom. I don't know what else to call her. but they're so good in there that, or they're so much more nuanced in there and not just some weird evil going on.
Yeah.
That it just lessened it all. But didn't lessen the enjoyment. I don't mean lessen in a bad way. I mean, it made me less of a scared kid from The Shining, because The Shining still, dude, geez, Louises, that thing scares me. There's something about the dark and the cold and that snow out there and that damn maze. Freaking F that maze.
F the maze.
Oh, F that maze. It sucks. Also, I noticed this director's still working. This dude's, he's doing a lot.
He wouldn't kicked out of Hollywood. Look at that.
Yeah, no, he's doing a lot. He's just very busy. A lot of TV and stuff. But like, he did a bunch of Expanse episodes. Let's see, Love on the Road. No, these are all new. He's doing some of these Christmas movies my wife loves, which is weird.
Yes.
Remember the Haven?
That your wife loves Christmas
Hallmark stuff. Yeah.
That Haven show. He had a big hand in and directed a bunch. Mm-hmm. And then there was the series. Let's see. Yeah, the Lost Girl series, which I heard was good, but it got canceled quick.
I didn't watch that yet.
I didn't realize there was a series. Wow, that one's on my radar too.
Yeah, that Dead Zone series, X-Files episodes. Like, this guy, you know, he's been working up till...
I think they have an episode of X-Files in season 2 that's supposed to kind of like a nod to this film. I'm trying to remember which one it was.
Oh, really? It's kind of like also based on the same
guy. He directed an episode of the X-Files called Rush.
Is that a good one?
That might be it. That might be it.
A high school boy is accused of a violent murder of a sheriff's deputy. Mulder believes he's innocent. The agents find that someone with superhuman speed may be the culprit. I don't remember it, but it does sound a little bit like Fire in the Sky.
Well, here is his most recent project, and we should all rush out and see it. Here you go. Put it in there. Thing. Yes. Christmas in Tahoe. Sunday, November 28th, Hallmark Channel. Catch it.
Aw, Liz looks sweet. Uh-huh. I wonder who gets abducted by aliens in this one.
I mean, I don't want to say it feels like you're slumming it when this is what you're doing, but it feels a little like he's slumming it.
Hey, if he takes as good a care for the characters as he did in Fire in the Sky, which I think is absolutely one of the the shining points. The performances and the character writing was fantastic. If it's anything like that, maybe.
All right, let's look at this poster, and maybe we each go around and try and guess what the plot, or we put together between the four of us what we think the plot of this is. What's the twist?
I want to give you the first thing I saw, which is the guy from Train, Pat Monahan.
Okay. I thought that was like somebody who drew Jason Bateman from memory.
Right. So that's stunt casting is what that is.
You're trying to kill me, aren't you? You are actually trying to kill me. That is the funniest freaking thing. Oh my gosh, stop.
Yeah. This guy is definitely a youth director at a church somewhere. And maybe she handles the nursery or something. I'm not sure. I'm definitely getting a church vibe from this thing.
I want to say you're not wrong, but I'm getting like she's from the big city. He's from the local town.
For sure.
The shake up Christmas.
The tweed jacket. Right. She's definitely from the big city. Yeah. She's vacationing in Tahoe.
Vacationing. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think she's not really
from Tahoe.
She's dressed like a realtor. So I think she's that works there. And he's a traveling salesman.
So do you think,
what's that really is Pat Monahan from Train?
Yeah, that's it really is Pat Monahan.
So what I want to be true, all of you guys can have all your people in the wreath stories you want. I want Pat Monahan to be the rooster from the animated.
There you go.
Rockadoodle.
Rockadoodle.
And I want him to be constantly just off in the side somewhere, leaning next to a tree. So when a story point happens, he goes, "Well, that's what you get when you deer." And they start playing a little song.
You might be close.
He's Jonathan Richman in Something About Mary, basically. Yeah. Like he's going to be up the tree going, "Well, now these two fell in love."
That's what I want.
I think you might be close because the little tagline is "Shake up Christmas with some romance." You know. Might be right.
Yeah. All right. So here's the truth.
All right. Give us the truth.
Claire Rhodes is a talent booker who is trying to get her dream job in Las Vegas. She's put to the ultimate test when the annual Christmas show at her family's hotel in Lake Tahoe. So she has a family hotel.
Yeah. I forgot the family.
The show is on the brink of cancellation. As a result, Claire works alongside her ex-boyfriend, Rockstar Ryan, to save the day.
Yes. Rockstar Ryan? Please tell me that's what he goes by the name Rockstar Ryan. Please tell me that's true.
The guy that she's in the wreath with is
a rock star.
Ryan? Okay.
Because he has a guitar.
Those
are two
placed
guys?
Placed like a stunt on that
thing. Those are definitely two different guys. Yeah. So I was trying to figure out. She looks like she's supposed to end up with the guy in the wreath, but she's joined by her ex-boyfriend.
Yes. I got to be honest. All you white guys look the same to me.
Okay.
both those guys.
I have a new theory. I would like to share it. I just realized this looking at this very closely. That's not a wreath. He's got weird wings. That are going all the way around.
The guitar player has wings,
and inside there is the story encapsulated within his little halo ring. But he's actually an angel down there to help him like figure shit out.
I get it. And it's not Tahoe, the location. They have a Tahoe, and it all takes place
in a car.
A traveling Tahoe band.
That's right.
For all our listeners, I know you didn't watch Fire in the Sky, but do look up the poster. Look up the poster for Christmas in Tahoe. That is the point of this episode.
I'm gonna put it in the notes. If you're a patron, you're getting this in your notes. I'm putting it in there.
Okay.
That's just getting it in the
movie poster. Yeah.
Sure. That's how it's gonna go.
Why are we always standing out in a snowbank?
I don't know.
This guy is standing in a snowbank.
Well, he's trained.
It's Christmas.
By the way, I think I have an idea for a new podcast for the four of us. We're just going to look at a movie poster and try
to
deduce what the story is.
Yeah. Nobody can cheat and look it up. We have to like figure it out, and then we go read it, and then whoever was closest
wins
that week.
Dude, that's a brilliant idea. That's
even close.
But that's an actually really good. I mean, none of us tried that hard. But this could be just a fun semi-regular film sack thing where we do it.
Film sack segment. Yeah, right.
I want to name another Christmas movie because the Ryan Reynolds movie Spirited is finally here.
I'm excited.
I've been hearing
good things about it. Is it good?
I don't know yet. I have been told I have to save it for Christmas. Okay. And we're gonna watch it like
until Christmas
Eve or something.
Wow. Okay.
So I need
this weekend.
I need someone else. Yes, I need you to watch it and maybe recommend it or something.
Kim and I will watch it
and let me know. But don't spoil it. You're not allowed to spoil it.
I won't spoil it.
Has anybody? Did you?
I do already have other recommendals in line for this. So
did you? Did you watch anybody? I assume Ibbot probably first in line. But the Guardians holiday special,
not out until the 25th. Scott.
Oh shit! My calendar's all off. I don't know what time it is. What day is it? Who am I? Believe me.
I have an advent calendar that ends on that day. So that
what do you? Is it one of those kinds that opens up with the chocolate? What do you have in yours instead of chocolate? What's in there?
It's full of raccoon droppings, basically.
Okay, cool. Yeah. You still eat those, though, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he has to. Are you kidding me? All right. What about this?
Thanksgiving or the
a lot
day
of fiber
after
this one.
Is
that's the big day. Yeah. So that's probably what we'll do.
Gross.
All right. What grossed me out? What do you think?
I think it was drinking out of that bathroom sink spigot
with his
mouth practically
his whole face whole
in the and his hands like he's pushing the water from that bathroom spigot into his face.
Judges, is he correct? He is correct. That is the grossest thing in this film.
He's like pressing his cheek into the porcelain. Oh, it was just
And it was one of those nasty ass. Give me a key to open the side bathroom at a gas station place. Oh,
by the way, how many people can you fit into one of those bathrooms?
Like, I know. I love it. The answer is about six too many. Is how many?
I'm thinking even if you go and you as the production house, you go to the Home Depot right before filming and you buy a new sink, I'm still not putting that much of the sink in my mouth to take a drink of water as an actor.
Yeah.
You don't have to suck it from the spigot. You know, you can wait for it to come out. God. Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
You'd have to buy it from the Home Depot. You'd have to show it to me after you bought it, wipe it down again with some kind of industrial cleaner, and then have eight people on the sides reminding me constantly as I did it that was clean. You'd have to. I just couldn't do it. That grossed me out. So well done. You picked it.
Thanks. By the way, I have one last note on my list. I've been to the Phoenix Gazette and the Arizona Republic, the newspaper that's shown in the film with the snowflake man abducted by aliens in Oregon, apparently. But
That's,
by the way, I have some scrutiny. I have a question.
You have some scrutiny. Hold on. Let's get some scrutiny going.
Scrutiny.
Can you and your friends just go get hired by the government to cut down trees? Yeah. Is that just like a...
That's true.
I don't know. I'm just not so sure
that
you and your buddies could just go...
You have to be a contractor.
Cutting down trees.
You have to be a contractor. You have to have a contractor's license, and he had one. Yeah. Robert Patrick did. So the other guy, like Dallas, couldn't do it on his own because he's just a lump. But if you had a contractor's license, you could do it. And he did
really that whole part of it felt really hand wavy to me. Where are we going? I don't know. What are we doing? We're cutting down
the
trees.
It's 1975.
That's true. It was 75. So maybe there's a little more seat of the pants.
I think that's
flying.
Part of it. But also, I mean, obviously there are different rules and stuff now, but I think that's still true. Like you can be a dude with a truck who's got a license to do construction and other things. And you go do a bid on a project and they say, all right, we'll take you. And you go do it.
Yep. Lowest bidder. You win.
Yep.
Government work, baby.
Yeah. And
plus there's probably not a lot of competition for the logging position in the deciduous forests of Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, you need to get up in the mountains in Arizona.
I've been there, but they didn't look like that. I mean, Brian is not wrong to say this because look, I get it. You can go to parts of Arizona where it snows even. It's big, beautiful. They got mountains. Sure. All of that stuff's true. But they're not those mountains. Like those are clearly
trees don't look like that.
Yeah, those are Oregon. Like that. That's Oregon and north is what we're looking at there.
Right.
Which is annoying because I'm already mad that it wasn't in Utah like I was told. So now I'm like,
right.
It's not even in Arizona. Go film it in Arizona, you lazy sacks of shit.
Yeah.
Or do it in Idaho or something that looks close. Anyway. All right. Anything else, you guys?
There was just so much. I'm glad. I like this movie. That's really. I
do too. I'm with you.
They kept getting me on things like, oh, that did they go down like a weird Apache kind of thing too? Because they started talking about the Apaches. If you listen to the background, like I'm talking in the back, they were talking about the Apaches and how spirits used to come down and abduct people. And there was a bunch of nuanced, layered stuff that was going on in the background that I enjoyed. Plus, we didn't get to talk about Afar, the whole alien life form guys who were there to kind of, you know, see what's going on and investigate.
They were just so damn tropey, you know?
Yeah.
Just, What happened? When did it happen? Did they touch you? Do you remember? Like, in his stupid glasses and his raincoat, and that just felt. You know, you mentioned this is before X-Files. We're, what, a year and a half before X-Files?
Well, yeah, it's like it was 93 is when they both came out. This movie was released in 93, and X-Files was released later that year in 93.
Yeah, and this reminded me, that guy reminded me of every ancillary weirdo on that show.
Right, right, which would have been probably maybe derivative of some of this stuff. I was trying to remember what else was out there at this time that might have helped to, you know, shape some of that stuff.
I was a little bummed at the very end. They didn't give us any, but they gave you the little... So-and-so got married and moved to whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That was the most pointless, useless.
Right. They only gave it fortuitous.
It made it feel like a TV movie. Don't do that.
Yeah.
But they didn't give us anyone else besides the two people. And I'm like, what happened to Dallas?
Everybody else was of no consequence.
Dallas.
Because Dallas Michael and Dell had a falling out and didn't follow the lives after all those folks.
I guess so.
I have a little trivia question for you, Scott.
Go.
Kathleen Wilhoit, who played Katie in this movie.
Yeah.
Right.
We've seen her before on Film Sack. We've obviously seen James Garner before on Film Sack. Which one have we seen more previous episodes of Film Sack?
Or
Kathleen Wilhoit or James Garner?
Okay.
I would say Wilhoit, because I can only think of Garner in Maverick.
Was he in Maverick?
I'd say I don't want to mess this up.
Yeah, he was the older. He was the dad Maverick.
Yeah, he was dad
the
Maverick.
Dad Maverick.
Was he in Maverick?
I was trying to remember if they did like a cameo. Yeah, I was trying to remember if they did that or not.
I mean, it was
Mel Gibson like relaxed in a tub on top of each other.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
So.
That was a very good guess, Scott Ibbett.
Hold on. So Kathleen Wilcote, I know her from Kim's recent rebinge of the ninth time or whatever of Gilmore Girls. She's Luke's sister.
On that show.
So I'm trying not to let that cloud me here and think I've seen too much of her. I'm going to guess we have seen her more than we've seen James Garner.
Correct.
Though.
Yeah. We've only seen James Garner in Maverick. Like this is only the second time. Hard to believe too. Cause he's got some sackable movies.
Yeah. We should watch Space Cowboys.
He's got a great big old sack. Yeah.
Is it Space Cowboys? Is what I'm thinking of?
Oh,
Everybody was in there, right?
To.
Why don't
it,
we?
It, I,
I've
we
never
are,
seen it. I've been saving it.
Oh, I can't it. Wait.
Yeah. It's great. Tommy Lee Jones, him, Clint Eastwood, other
old guys.
Yeah. I can't remember the other old guys.
She was the love interest in Roadhouse.
Yep.
Wow. That's right.
They're remaking that shit. I'm actually looking forward to that.
I can't believe they're remaking Escape from New York.
What's wrong with our first one? Nothing. Stop it.
But Roadhouse remake sounds like good people involved. Who was it? Who's doing
I'm excited.
This? Oh, it's the
John Wick.
I say
remake
John
all
Wick,
the things. I'm fine with it.
The John Wick director and writer doing it. He's making
one. Right.
I mean, that's exciting, right? Sort of.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Sure. Okay. I know. Oh, and Jake Gyllenhaal tapped to be your dude. That's fine.
Yeah,
he's buff.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Really?
That's a good pick.
Can he be nice until it's time not to be nice?
Yes, well, he can.
He can. Okay. Yeah, he can. He'll do it. He's got
a good
the
job at that. Actually,
he looks at the October sky and he decides, "Let's go." That's a weird reference. That's the opposite of COVID brain. It's when you remember shit that doesn't matter ever. Oh man, do I have a deal for you guys today? It's going to be great. Did you know that your internet service provider knows literally everything you do online? It's true. You may as well be handing them your laptop. You know, just like hand it over to a stranger and say, here, look at everything I have. Would you like it? Well, that's why having a VPN is an absolute must-have every time you go online. And I want to tell you about one of the best VPNs out there and easily one of the most affordable ones I've seen, PIA. Which is why I use PIA. Go to PIAVPN.com/filmsack for 82% off your private internet access. That's an insane discount. It stands for private internet access, and they take privacy pretty dang seriously. Not only does PIA hide your IP address, but it encrypts your entire connection. This protects your internet activity from everyone, your ISP, your network admins, any hackers out there just itching to take your most sensitive stuff. PIA is the world's most transparent VPN. They'll never record or store any user data, and their no-logs policy even has been verified in court. It seems like a big deal for those of you out there that are, you know, security conscious. I am too. I feel you. You want to be, you know, that's the kind of stuff you want to be sure about. You also get endless entertainment options. Not only does PIA work with all major streaming services, but it's one of the few VPNs that supports P2P file sharing. So you can download just about anything. You can connect to over 83 countries using the world-class servers, and there's a server for every single U.S. state. So that's cool also. You get your own dedicated IP address for 100% anonymity, and it's available for all platforms across your devices. And just one membership can protect you and up to 10 of your devices all at the same time. PIA has over 30 million downloads. See for yourself how it makes browsing so much better. So I've been using it for a while, and I really like it because it's simple to launch and get in and go. So if for some reason you're trying to, I don't know, access something that your ISP won't let you get to, or you need to connect VPN virtually to a server network or whatever it may be, well, they've got you covered. It was very easy to set up. I really like it. I think you'll like it too. Keep snoopers out of your stuff. Right now, go to PIAVPN.com/filmsack to get a whopping 82% off your VPN service, plus 4 free months with a 2-year plan. Comes out to around $2 a month, and you cannot beat that. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee as well, by the way. That's PIAVPN.com/filmsack. Go check it out today. Right. All right, yeah. Let's do some clips. We have a number of clips, and I'm going to play them now.
Thank you.
And we begin with this one. It's all the bikes.
Harleys, Nortons, Yamahas, you name it. We'll do commercials like the guys in Phoenix.
You know, the guys in Phoenix.
Yeah,
the
guys in Phoenix. MT Racing, get it? It's like, what's MT?
That was clever. I love it.
I'll be glad when you get abducted by aliens. Cripes.
Yeah, it was fun. I like that early stuff. Something about friends doing a business together, two little girls.
Yeah. Everybody can relate, right? That's what's great about this, I think. Everybody's done that stupid-ass drawing.
Yeah, it was relatable.
Two-year-old. What? Get out of here with this.
Yeah, what the
Look,
hell?
Here's the front of our strip mall location.
Yeah. That was some really ugly art, but whatever.
You loved it.
What is that? Don't know.
Donuts.
I don't know what I wrote. Here it is.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
No, just the way Peter Berg said that.
Yeah. It has a half avocado flying in space. Yeah. I don't know.
I like him. He hadn't even, I mean, this is still when he's mostly acting, but he's still, you know, Friday Night Lights, the movie and later TV show hasn't happened. He hasn't directed anything, I don't think.
No.
I can't believe the part where he gives morning kisses to his girl in the house wasn't the part that grossed you out the most.
Morning. Oh, up in the window there?
Yeah.
Well, fresh maybe. Out of bed, teeth not brushed.
All face talking right in my face.
Hey, the 70s.
Eat one of these donuts.
70s. I always discount those. I think about them when I see them in our movies and go, is that can't quantify? It's just that they all do it because movies are unrealistic about that sort of thing.
Right.
It's kind of like how, I don't want to get into it here, but I was watching this. You know what? I will. I was watching a sex scene the other day and something Kim was watching. And I don't even remember what the show was. And it's just never realistic.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm not big into watching other people kiss or have sex. I'm just like, nah, that's like something you want to participate in. It's kind of
it's just when they
watching baseball versus playing
it's like
baseball.
Esports. Yeah. I like watching you play League of Legends, but I just really want to play it myself.
I just know that guy's got leaky doodle now, and he's got his leaky doodle all over the sheets.
Leaky
and
doodle
she's over there not acting like it's a big deal. And I just know these things aren't very realistic is all I'm saying. All right. I'm glad I got to bring that up. Now let's talk about this one. I thought you saw something.
You saw something. At least you thought you did.
There's Maverick. You saw something.
You saw something.
It's a weird way for him to talk, actually. Fun to listen to these two plan shit.
Got 50 men, jeeps, horses, dogs. I want to call Flagstaff and get 2 helicopters. That'd be enough.
That's plenty.
I just like that whole thing.
Yeah.
Turn this movie into a buddy cop movie with those two chuckleheads.
Yeah. Every outhouse, farmhouse, hen house.
It has that kind of thing.
Tommy Lee Jones would take it a different direction, though.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I guess he's too intense.
Right.
I don't know.
Speaking of taking it to a different direction, did you guys watch that video clips that I sent you of Christopher Walken doing his alien abduction movie like a few years prior to this?
No.
Like 89 or
did
something?
I miss
that? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That's in Communion.
Communion. I haven't even clicked it yet. No, I haven't seen it yet. That sounds like something we should watch.
I didn't realize that was there. Watkins in that. Why didn't I click that?
Oh, it's so freaking awful. Oh, I can't wait for us to watch it.
You gotta watch that.
It's a Christmas movie. It's supposed to happen on December the 26th.
I just want you to know, Brian Dunaway, I always look at what you
picture
with me. I usually do too. You must have done this morning.
Yeah, I just didn't care. I did look.
How could you not care about Christopher Walken being talking about aliens and talking to aliens?
Ibbitt and I, for us, it was 5:30 this morning when you posted this.
Exactly.
We haven't, and then we jumped right on here. This is the first I'm seeing.
Exactly.
It.
I haven't even didn't even open my computer until half an hour before we sat down.
But Randy at 4:30 a.m. Pacific time.
No, when I woke up, I used the bathroom, I started doing some dailies and some mobile games I'm playing, and I turned on the coffee maker, and then I looked at Discord. Right. Oh, I'm going to watch this thing that Brian Dunaway pasted.
Yeah, no, it's good. I'm glad someone looked at your dumb link, but I'm going to look at it later.
Clearly, Randy loves Brian Dunaway more than we do.
Obviously.
So, all right, fair enough.
Obviously.
I just don't want him to feel bad, guys.
Why don't you feel bad? You don't have to watch my crap. I don't care. I didn't make it.
I like your crap. I'd watch your crap.
Christopher Walken had that hair for 20 years, didn't he?
Yeah,
he did. Was about 20 years that he had that hair. And it's Christopher Walken hair. No one else had it.
My recommendal list next week has him in it, and it's not Severance. Ooh. So that'll tell you something. Maybe it won't.
Your recommendal. Hold on.
I watched yours.
I'm not gonna say a guess, but I just want to think about that a second. Christopher Walken?
The music video for Weapon of Choice by Fatboy Slim is gonna be Scott's recommended.
No, it is not that.
That's so good.
It is good, but it's not that. And it's not anything old. It's new.
Okay, so it's not Deer Hunter. Okay. No,
it's newish. and it's very good, and he plays a really great part in it, and it's a TV show on a streaming channel.
Okay, all right.
Oh, cool. Well, it's not the one that I recommended a couple of weeks ago, is it? About called Outlaws?
Oh shit! Did you do Outlaws?
Son of a!
He just always recommended everything.
I just recommended it less than maybe about a month ago.
I don't remember that.
Ruined everything.
Gosh, dang
before
it.
You so had COVID, Scott.
I know. I know. Hey, all right. Here's what I'd like to say to the public. Brian was right. Outlaws is great. highly recommend it. Oh, so you know what turned out then? I ended up watching two recommendals from my friends and not knowing one of them was recommended. I watched yours, and then I watched Randy's Avenue 5, which Brian had also recommended years ago.
Yeah.
When the first season came out.
That might have been a Nicole, actually.
Oh, it could have been. I caught up on that entirely, and there's still episodes coming for season two. I love Avenue 5.
And it's so good. I haven't watched season two yet, but
it has no business being better in the second season, but it somehow is.
Oh,
all I'm saying is roll out the pedophile. That's all I'll say.
Roll out.
Okay. There's a moment where that phrase is used, and I thought I was going to die coughing. I laughed so hard at this show. Anyway, let's move on to this clip. This guy made me laugh.
No, Mike, the word's out.
Well, what word would that be, Tom?
Oh, I don't know. It's just that I've been getting calls all day from here to Timbuktu. As of tomorrow, I'm all looked up.
Well, who's calling?
Reporters, sightseers, UFO buffs and the like. Hey, Mike, what's really going on here?
I love that guy.
Yeah. Can you keep a secret?
Yeah. Can you ever seen a dead body? He's just up about that guy. Like, listen, this thing here.
Hey, Mike. What's really going on here?
I wish one of you were called Mike so I could like ask you questions and keep that as a clip, you know? Anyway, he's wonderful. All right, here's another one.
Reporter.
Whoops, same guy. Let's see. Oh, they know the truth.
There are those of us out there who know the truth.
See, what a dork.
Out there.
They're dorks, dude. I don't like them at all. Well, we heard this earlier, but I'm playing it again.
Fat piece of shit.
Yeah.
I love that because he was portrayed as the church going was always straight, always said, you know, didn't use the real curse words. They finally push his buttons.
Yeah. Like, they finally got him. Yep. How do we get choir boy over there to swear? And they did it.
Yep. That was it.
Here's some more swearing for you.
Well, that figures. They're a bunch of chicken shit assholes.
Okay. Chicken shit asshole.
Well, speaking of chicken shit. Where you been?
Oh, got him.
Wow.
That's a good one.
Got him. Best angry acting ever. And here's why. I can't understand what the F they're saying. That's a sign.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right. So enjoy.
You don't look at it. Don't.
What did they say? That. You can't tell me. There's no way you can tell me what they said.
I can't isolate one voice from the other. It is, yeah. It is so bad.
It is, wow. I'll do it one more time and we'll see if we hear anything.
You don't show look no, nauseous. Don't get mad at it. Don't.
I think I heard don't, and that's it.
Yeah. Too damn fat. Too damn fat. Don't.
I'd love to know what the subtitles closed said caption. During that yeah. moment. Like, it's just like a bunch of
indistinct
type all
yelling.
Typed over each other.
Yeah. That was Peter Berg in Dallas, I think. Here's what's with this scene of Japanese businessmen? Here's the clip.
Oh, yeah.
What was the point?
Well, we were still right. It was the 90s, so we were still. What was that when the Japanese were? I know, but then they were like, this is when they were tourists. They said a couple of things. They said stuff about wetbacks. It was a little bit, it felt very like 1975.
I guess so. Right? Japanese businessmen hunting around the States for opportunities or something. Like, hey, we're going to bring a Sony factory here or something. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. That was what I was getting anyway.
I hate this music crutch I wrote. Let's see if I still hate it. It's been a day. Here we go. Yeah, I hate that horn thing.
Yeah.
I actually liked it.
What no, you say? Didn't. You didn't
I'm
like
easy.
It.
I'm easy.
You didn't like it.
Dragnet mark, is mark. What that is, or yeah. something like it's
very yeah. Dragnet. Yes,
does not belong in a '93 movie.
Not even like Dragnet proper '60s, like Dragnet the movie.
Dragnet the Tom Hanks.
Yeah, where everything's a parody. That's how that is.
Right.
All right. Here's what. Something North Pole.
From the friggin' what? North Pole, if I have to.
Oh, friggin' North Pole, says Maverick. Wow. And then finally, I wrote here, are we sure this was 1993? Maybe music trends hadn't changed the way I thought yet, but here's what they decided to have in their music. What the hell is that? What is that?
It's really bad, yeah.
It sounds like it's from like a 1930s movie.
Yeah. It's just
made for like this after school special kind of thing.
It's really, really bad. But those are your clips. That's all she wrote. And now the checklist. The film sack checklist for this movie goes always rains right when you need it to. Check. That's happened a couple times in this movie. Them aliens are greasy bastards, y'all. Check.
Mm-hmm.
What's the big deal? I also scream like a baby when my girlfriend touches me. Check.
Oh, my God. That's no baby I've ever heard. Holy no crap. That kidding. Was a real man scream.
Yeah, I had to turn down the TV. I had to turn down the soundbar. That was really loud.
It was loud. Mm-hmm. And he kept doing it. And I'm like, all right, you going to stop? Because I got to go on here. Let's get the Star Trek connections out of the way. We've talked about one or two of them, maybe hinted.
Oh, bunch.
Anyway,
but. Gosh, there's a bunch. So Noble Willingham, like we said, he was in, he played his character in that episode of TNG was named Texas.
Yeah.
Kenneth White played a character named Buck in this movie. Bit role. Mm-hmm. He was in an episode of Star Trek Enterprise. Bruce Wright, who played Dennis, was in an episode of Deep Space Nine and an episode of Enterprise. Wayne Grace, we're getting bigger as we go here. Mm. Wayne Grace played Cyrus Gilson in this movie, another kind of bit role.
Yep.
Was in three different episodes, three different Star Trek series. He was in TNG and Deep Space Nine, and it played Fleet Admiral Krill in an episode of Enterprise.
Ooh.
Moving on, Scott McDonald, who played Dan Walton in this movie, was in four different episodes, four different series of Star Trek, TNG, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and Enterprise. But I'm going to come back to Scott McDonald. The winner on my list is Tracy Torme. Tracy Torme is a writer and producer who was credited for the cleanup on this original script for this movie. Mm. Tracy Torme is credited on 28 episodes of Star Trek: The Next Generation. Was a pretty big guiding hand for a long section of the TNG.
Do all movies have somebody do the cleanup? That's just a thing, right? Somebody's always doing this, or is that not true? I don't know.
I don't know. There's plenty of movies out there where the director also wrote the entire script beginning to end and didn't have anybody else
true.
Help.
That's true. I just always wondered if it, cause you always hear about it. It's like, oh yeah, I came in later to, you know, punch it up. And I always think, well, is that a normal, like, does every movie need a punch up or is it, like an editor, you know? Mm-hmm. I guess they have editors too, so I don't know. Anyway, I was just
wanted to jump back to Scott McDonald because of everybody in this list. If you remember one person from all of that for one role, Scott McDonald was inside the makeup and the suit and played Tosk on Deep Space Nine. Tosk the Hunted. He was that character that shows up on Deep Space Nine, and they find out some aliens are hunting him for sport. And it's a very
game. Early photo now. Yeah.
Yeah. Very memorable appearance.
It's very good. Yeah. It's early too, I think. Early DS9 stuff. Mm-hmm. Like pre shaved head Cisco and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's how you mark where you're at in Star Trek. It's like, when did Riker get the beard? Okay, there, there's that. Right. When did they start having two piece jumpsuits instead of just the one ball grabber?
When did the men stop wearing skirts? Oh yeah,
right.
I'll tell you that episode of Deep Space Nine is really towering in my experience. It's called Captive Pursuit. It's in the first season, I think. That episode was shown to me in school by my English teacher. He wanted, I mean, you know, every now and then teachers would take a break for a day and just like put something on the TV. Mm-hmm. But he wanted to talk about the idea of sentience and human rights and this kind of thing. And so he made us watch Captive Pursuit. And then like there was a lot of really interesting subject matter in there. But I just like ended up studying one episode of Deep Space Nine when I was a kid.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Let's move on to where the hell am I? Oh, the start. This is the soundtrack grade, right? That's what I call it. The soundtrack grade.
Yeah. The Star Trek,
grade, the Star Trek soundtrack grade. I'd give it a TMFMT for too melodramatic for my taste. I don't think the music is the best part of the movie. It's okay. No. And in the parts where it's intense, it's fine. Okay. No complaints there. It's all fine. But when it's a lot of like looking around and trying to decide if we're in this together and, oh, my wife's leaving me and all that stuff was done like a TV special and I didn't like it. So take that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Totally agree. Yep.
Put that in your pants and mix it around.
Mix it. Put the pants mix on it.
Let's get to the Twitter post. I'm going to start calling this the social media post because who knows where things are going. This is where you guys in however many characters you want get to describe this movie. Let's start this week with Randy.
Fire in the sky. Six guys in a truck eating donuts go and lose one of the guys. And of course, it's the one who's sweet on the main guy's sister. And then he comes back changed.
Oh.
Just like a Saturday Night episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh. There's a diaper thing.
I wish we had donuts.
Oh, donuts.
You can have, you know what? You can have donuts. Donuts are so ever present nowadays.
Not when you don't have a car.
Oh, I forgot. Too soon, Brian and Randy. Too soon.
There are no donuts that are close enough for me to walk easily and get donuts.
Do you think your car is thinking of you too while it's sitting there?
Yeah. Oh, it totally is.
Yeah.
I miss Brian. I was so mad.
I miss the ginormous butt of my driver.
There's a whole story behind this, obviously, and we'll probably hear more about it on TMS, but I was so, I don't know if I've ever felt such remote, like, simultaneous anger for a thing. And I think it's because when people F with your car and do it in a way that's stupid, that's hard for me to explain what I'm even saying. There's hardly anything more aggravating.
So totally is.
Because it always involves money. It always involves stupid people, miscommunication, shitty customer service. Like, it's all the things that make your head explode all in one bag. And I hate it.
Yep.
For you.
Thank you.
Because it's got to be worse being the person. I'm not trying to say it's bad for me. Feel for me, you guys.
Only slightly.
Right? Yeah. Let's get to Brian Dunaway's Twitter post.
I'm going with Mastodon this week. Oh, Fire in the Sky.
Hi.
An eye-rolling good time. Also, chainsaw standoff. What? I said chainsaw standoff. What? Hold on a second. I can't hear you. This chainsaw, what? Oh, no, you don't. You're not interested in a chainsaw standoff? Well, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Hashtag chainsaw standoff. Oh, hashtag. Oh, yeah, there were aliens.
Oh, man. I forgot about the chainsaw standoff until you just brought it up again. What a dumb
chainsaw
thing.
Chainsaw standoff.
That was such a thing.
That's a fun phrase. Thank you for bringing that to my life.
Yeah, chainsaw standoff. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Fire in the sky. Wow, this new meow wolf in Arizona looks like shit.
Nicely done. Let's now move on to what? To this right here. This is the alternate titles. They were just handed to me. They almost called it Fire in the Guy after the probing between his thighs, but I think that was a bad idea.
It's too much. It's too much.
Yeah,
too
I agree. Much. Then they almost went with this one. There's way too much. Adult airbender Aang gets abducted by choppy cam operators while the T-1000 Elliot and the Nightbreed guy and the creator of Friday Night Lights take off in the truck.
Yeah,
now, here's that. The irony of me yeah. writing that. I wrote that to include everyone, and yeah, it right. just occurred to me, the only person I didn't include, by the way, adult airbender Aang, is, he plays the... D.B. Sweeney now currently plays the adult version of Aang in that new show. Anyway, he's not doing much else. I notice here I've left that guy out again. The guy that...
Yeah. 10-gallon hat.
Yeah, and yep. I didn't even mean to. I made a note to, like, don't forget that guy because he was in there, but I left him out.
But anyway.
Let's move on to emails. We got some... excuse me. One here from Jonas from Sweden, or probably Jonas or Hannes or something. Filmsack@gmail.com is where he sent this. Is hello, Scott, Brian, and Randy.
Oh, hi.
There's a lot of Brians.
I agree. Wow. He put all four of you in here. Long-time listener and all that. As a Swede listening to your last episode on Westworld, there was a detail that I cannot let stand. The word Malort simply isn't pronounced the way you said it. He says, it's not Malort. With a quick muh and an emphasized lort. The emphasis is more on the first part. It's more like mal-ert. Like mal, like mal, like Darth Maul kind of mal.
Sure. Okay.
It says ert as in yurt. Yeah. So say it with me, mal-yurt.
Mal-yurt.
See? Mal-yurt. Did we do it? Yeah. He says, you're welcome for the free language lesson. Love you guys. FilmSack is on my favorite podcast.
But we're talking about something invented by a guy in Chicago who named it. And we're just pronouncing it how he did.
Right? Did he? I don't know. I've never heard him.
I mean,
I'm always open for language lessons.
I mean, we're talking about that horrible alcohol that tastes like pencil shavings and desperation, right?
I assume that's the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it really? By a guy in
Chicago. Now the time for me to try Malort? Or sorry.
No. There is never a time for you to try Malort.
Okay.
Oh, I had this really interesting idea since we last talked about Malort. And that is to. Take that magic fruit that red berry
thing
and put some of that in your mouth first and then Malort might taste really good
magic
like
fruit.
The stuff that you do with the like what do they call that the stuff in the verbena at the Cosmopolitan.
Yeah. Right.
Szechuan electric berry.
Yeah.
Right. The stuff you did in Vegas last time. Everybody was talking about that.
Every Tanner. Time. Yeah.
Tanner was raving about that. He said it was crazy and good.
Always thing for me. Like I will always go there and get that.
Wow.
You can buy miracle fruit on Amazon right now. It comes in little tablets and you can buy it right now. It's cheap. Get it. Mess around with it. It is such fun.
So you eat it. Wait, if it's in a pill form, though, what do you do?
You just dissolve it in your mouth.
Oh, you just chew it or dissolve it.
And it completely blocks some of your taste buds, the ones that you want it to block.
Oh,
and
weird.
And it makes things, it's just like, it's amazing how it makes things taste.
So if I went and grabbed a, you know, half a pound of chicken shit.
Oh.
And then ate one of
chicken shit. Good Lord.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Would it change that kind of thing? Does it make everything taste better is what I'm asking?
Don't. Poison yourself.
Well, it just makes everything taste different. It doesn't.
Can you go to the Publix deli and get that? I had like a half a pound of chicken shit.
No, that's a good point. All right, so let's say it's something else. I don't like the taste of that
yogurt soda that we had.
Yeah, would it make that taste better? I guess is the question. Or just taste different?
It would make it taste different.
I don't know if it would. Taste
you would
better.
No longer taste the sour notes. It would only. You'd only be tasting the sweet parts.
Oh. Okay, so that's the point of it, is it blocks out whatever sour and gives you just whatever sweet.
I got you. Yeah.
All right. So
it doesn't last for very long, but it's fascinating when you get together with people and everybody puts some miracle fruit in their mouth, and then you see them like squeezing a whole lime into their mouth. They're like, wow.
It makes it sound like if you dipped B. Arthur in a vat of it, she'd come out Betty White. You know what I mean?
I think there's a reason why.
I don't know what else to say, except that's a terrible idea. Let's move on. Sorry, Dunaway, you were going to say something.
I was going to say, I usually respect whatever my mouth tells me. It's like, hey, you shouldn't let this pass. So I'm like, cool. I'm not gonna. Thanks for letting me know, Mouth.
If I need to choose something else to make this taste better, you know, what sort of disservice am I doing to my body?
Yeah. My mouth is there for a reason, and it's going, nope. Evolution has told us this is bad. Don't want to let it pass.
Yeah, the verbena thing is obviously designed to be this cool experience, so keep that going. That's right. Cool.
Sure.
But I'm not going to do any chicken shit in the near future.
Please don't.
Ask your deli about it today.
I'll see if they've got it in stock. It's time for a couple of quick texts here. 801-471-0462. We got one from Chad in Ohio who says, hey there, Film Sack. I have two early 90s movies that are perfect for the show. First one is Stay Tuned with John Ritter, Jeffrey Jones, Pam Dauber, and Eugene Levy. The other is Death Becomes Her with Meryl Streep, Goldie Hawn, and Bruce Willis. The show.
That's great.
Those might work. I mean,
yeah. Especially Death. We've talked about doing Death Becomes Her before. That's a great one.
It's
wild. Comedies, it's a comedy, but it's
they're
dark.
Comedies, but they actually, yeah, I think that actually could work. They could work for us, huh?
They feel like they're in line closer with something like Beetlejuice than a regular comedy, right?
Yes, right. For sure.
Like there's comedy, but it's also like supernatural stuff. And
Stay Tuned is basically like, you know, Click. Or what was the Adam Sandler? It was Click, right? With
Sandler's,
Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
And, yeah. From Made in the 80s when John Ritter.
Before we had Click.
Speaking of Christopher Walken, I think he was wasn't he the guy that gave him the remote?
He's the Obi-Wan of that, yeah.
Yeah,
very vague memories of that. But the one with Death Becomes Her, I think was who made Forrest Gump and Back to the Future. I can't think of his name.
Zemeckis.
I think that's a Zemeckis film.
I think it is a Zemeckis movie. Now that you say that,
always Zemeckis. That. Look at that.
That's weird. All right. Well, anyway, we will check into it. I mean, we all love everybody you just listed.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis. He's cool. here's one from Joshua in Kalamazoo. Says, listening to episode 574 of Film Sack, unless I said the number wrong that day, and I might have. Anyway, when Ryan Ibbotson, throwback to a TMS episode, mentioned that the reason you haven't seen any other Jeffrey Rush movies was because he's usually in good movies. And I thought of a great recommendation for a film, the 1999 cult classic Mystery Men. It's perfect for sacking, and in my opinion, is what may have proven to be a movie like X-Men possible to do on the big screen. Love to bake dough, bro. Joshua in Kalamazoo.
Yes. We've talked about this one as well.
This is one I always felt like we had seen. I know we haven't, but we need to. I love this movie.
It is perfect for Sack. Yeah, it's, you know, Janine Garofalo and Ben Stiller and
Pee-wee Herman. Paul Rubens in it.
Right, Paul Rubens,
Wes Studi, an amazing role for him. Mm. It's a weird movie in that it's based on a comic book on Dark Horse made it, I guess. I never read it, but it's one of those movies where they nail everything up till the final act, in my opinion, and then things get weird. I'd like to revisit it and see if that's still true. So, yes, absolutely, we should watch Mystery Men at some point. I don't know if it's streaming or not, but we'll check and let you know. In the meantime,
I'm sure Randy can confirm it's probably on our must-watch list.
Yeah, something to that effect. Patreon stuff. I want to thank some people. We got some new folks. And for some reason, I put them in the wrong tab. So just one second while I pull them up. Their names are Scott Wurzel, Azure, Paul, Cat, Brett Dibdern, and Andrew Stewart. I can't even say their real names right.
Stewart.
Or the easy names. Anyway, you guys just joined us. And that makes us very happy. Why? Because you're taking advantage of all the cool stuff that we're doing here on the show. That is extra stuff that isn't going out to the main people, like a pre-show today. We had a great one. Really fun discussion. One of my favorites, actually.
Talking about dragons.
Yeah. It was a big dragon discussion. I didn't expect that. Didn't see that coming. And there it was. So check that out. Also, no commercials ever. Monthly special episodes from all of us hosts. And, special art in the mail. Stuff I put together. Movie related. Film Sack related art. Goes straight to your home. Other great monthly benefits that you'll just have to go read about. At patreon.com/filmsack. And big thanks again to everybody who supports us over there. It means a lot. Our next movie is going to be, I don't know.
From Russia with Love.
Oh.
James Back to the Bond.
Nice. Another bonding moment.
Yeah, so the only way to watch Fire in the Sky was on Paramount. And Paramount has our old James Bond movies. So.
Sweet.
Yeah, we're going to watch the second one. We watched the first one a few months ago. And we're just going to see how that goes every few months watching a
Yeah.
James Bond movie in order.
And we'll skip so glad the ones we've that. Seen. You know,
we won't do Moonraker again.
No.
Says you.
Well.
Says, yeah.
I mean, you might watch Moonraker one more time in your life, but it won't be here. You know?
It won't be here. No, no. Exactly.
Well, that sounds like a threat. You're going to watch it while we're doing the show.
This is the movie where they really step into the one-liners. Like, yeah. I mean, James Bond had so many one-liners in this movie. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it'll be good. And we'll be here for it. So that's next week from Russia with Love, right here on FilmSack. FilmSack.com is the place to go. In the meantime, if you're looking for anything I've mentioned here on the show, that Patreon stuff, all our contact details, texts, emails, all of it, you can find it at filmsack.com. That'll do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Help me!
See you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Fat piece of shit.